Rage Against the Machine, that's what's been happening across the Pacific in the US, where people have literally been hitting out at driverless cars. Two of the six collisions in California this year have involved humans slapping, shouting, and damaging autonomous cars. And yes, that does count as a collision. So why the anger? Maurice Mizalowski is a futurist who looks at business, including the possibilities of self-driving vehicles, and joins us tonight. Maurice, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Why are people getting so mad at self-driving cars?
Isn't it a wonderful question? I'm not quite sure the answer to that. I think it's just humanity railing against robots and computers. You know, we're going to be talking about San Francisco here, and it's America, and it's the home of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I just think that they're seeing a dystopian world, and computers are going to take over the world, and they might be sitting inside these driverless cars.
So often we associate automation with job losses. Could that be causing some stress resulting in some self-driving cars getting a slap? I just have this vision of people just slapping their cars. It makes me laugh. I'm sorry, I can't help myself.
Yeah, no, me too. And I'm not quite sure what's at the root of what they're thinking, but certainly there is a lot of angst around the planet about us losing jobs. Putting it into context, the reality is that there will be people that will be put out of work because the skills that they once had, as wonderful as they were, no longer are required. And that's been done by humanity, not by machines. People have decided that for whatever reason, that particular task is better done by technology, invented the technology, put it into place, and we as consumers decide to buy or have the products or services that's made. But in defense of that also, there will be a whole new slew of jobs that will come about that we've not seen before or haven't been as prominent before, and there will be many more jobs than we'll lose.
Okay, so ethically, there are so many questions to be asked about these vehicles. We probably honestly could fill an entire program or maybe 10 of them just talking about it. But one thing I've been seeing popping up a bit is this concern about who an autonomous car may have to choose to save in a life or death accident. This is probably the biggest, to be honest, ethical question around these cars. How far are we from making those decisions?
I'm not sure we'll ever make them. I'm not sure we should. What we need to do is to program these cars with our best thinking and our best efforts so that it can make the split-second decision that needs to make in that moment. And what we need to get to is a car that eventually can do that. You and I as humans have been doing that ever since we've driven our motor vehicles 100 years now or so. I'm not all that convinced that many of us have made the right decision in that moment either. We've made the decision that feels within that split second to be the most appropriate, but we've caused a lot of harm doing it.
You're right. I mean, we think we make the right decisions, but they are split second decisions. Sometimes they are right, sometimes in hindsight they're not. If you've ever been in a situation like that, you know, when you've been confronted with how to manage risk, basically, who's going to get hurt first, and I'm going to make this in a split second, it's a hard decision to make.
But it's a hard one. It's also couched in emotion, which it needs to be, and our adrenaline's running, and all those things are wonderful because we're human. But what we're told and what we believe is that these cars fitted with machine learning and eventually artificial intelligence will take the emotion out of them. That won't make the decision right. It'll just make it a very different sort of decision.
If you're in the car, don't you have a right to expect it to protect you?
Yes, and that goes back forever. I mean, Asimov talked about that in his book in 1942, Runaround. He came up with three laws for robots, and I think we're pretty much still around those laws. And the first law was that a robot shouldn't injure a human being, either through its action or its inaction, or allow a human being to come to harm. And the second one was the robot must obey the orders given to it by the human being, except where it conflicts with the first law. And the third one is the robot must protect its own existence, again, as long as it doesn't conflict with the first or second law.
There's a lot of laws there.
There are, but it's old books.
There aren't just ethical issues here. There's legal ones, obviously, which are very hard to deal with in terms of making laws that stick on this. How should we expect lawmakers to react to these new vehicles? Is there best practice? What are lawmakers around the world doing, particularly in developed countries like ours?
many of them are not quite sure what to do. We've got Germany that's putting together a series of laws that may be enacted, but certainly will be debated. In America, in some of the states, San Francisco especially, because it's Silicon Valley home, they've addressed it. So California generally has addressed that issue. In Australia, our governments are just beginning to talk about what laws they might be able to bring in. But we really do need to preempt it, because I don't think we'll have driverless cars in the way people are currently imagining, because most people have that notion of really just a portable lounge room where there's no steering wheel and there's nothing else, we just sit in it. That's called level 5 autonomy, and we're most probably 15 to 20 years away from having it. But on the interim steps, we will find cars more capable of doing things than they've ever done before. So we've really got to start looking at the laws. Also, insurance is another issue too that I've debated for the last decade or so. Because if the car is truly autonomous and a human is not touching it, then who's liable for the accident or the damage caused?
Well, the machine can't pay, can it?
Well, it can't. And in other circumstances, because we do have driverless vehicles, believe it or not, I mean, our aeroplanes are driverless, so are our ships, so are most of the mass transport, not on road, but elsewhere. And the laws that they use predominantly are when it's found which part has caused the issue, so the braking system or whatever else it is, it's generally then the fault put, generally the fault is then put back to the manufacturer of that part. And the question is, will we use a similar law to that, or will car manufacturers, as Volvo has done, Volvo's come out in advance of it ever selling a car and saying, look, if our Volvo car has an accident, then it will be our insurance that will cover you, so you won't need to have your own insurance.
Now, we talked, the sort of hook for us to talk about this, obviously, is these people losing their minds, as you say, in California, you know, bashing up their driverless cars. I've got to say, I have a very old daggy car, but whenever I borrow my partner's much cooler, newer car, you know, they don't have keys and they, you know, the car has to register and it doesn't start. I sometimes want to bash the car for not registering, you know, it doesn't start. Do you have one of these cars that... What's wrong with them? Like, it's a computer and it won't register that I'm there and I want to assault the car. So I find that it's very normal that you want to assault your car. I never
maybe
want to assault
the car's having, maybe the car's just having a bad day.
No, well, it has too often a bad day. So one person says, I have to put this to you. This person says, who's texted in, I'm in favour of driverless cars if they work. Driver rage is immediately removed from our roads. Apparently not if the driver rage has been taken out on the car, but let's just remove that. Is that true? Does it take away the sort of bad human emotion?
Well, we're told it will. You know, the figure that's always thrown around is over 90% of car accidents on the planet are caused by humans. So the thought immediately is that if we have a car that drives and it drives itself, it takes the emotion out of it, then many or most of those accidents will not occur, and hopefully very few of those deaths will occur. So we believe that the road toll will diminish quite quickly, and we believe that there will also be less incidents of car accidents, which then talks about all the allied industries perhaps not being as busy as they once before. So it's a real conundrum, but the answer is that yes, we should see less accidents, we should see less deaths, and there also should be less damage, also less fuel used, and all sorts of things that will change.
And also more cars being bashed up. Hey, thanks for your time tonight.
A pleasure.
Futurist Morris Mislowski there. What's your take on these cars? Already getting lots of texts about it, I've got to say. Lots of people have strong emotions about these cars. Are you a fan, or do they make you a little nervous? I get a little nervous. That's why I have an old car. You can text me 0418 226 576. You can tweet us too using the hashtag RNDrive. You can get on Facebook and write on our page. And I do kind of remind you of this semi-frequently, but there's a reason for that. That's that we exist on the internet whenever you want. So if you want to hear that very interesting conversation on President Trump and his tariffs and meeting with Kim Jong-un, you can podcast it like right now. It's on the ABC Listen app. You just find us, RN Space Drive, on the ABC Listen app, and you can just press play. So you can listen to a different part of the show right this second. I don't know if I'm kind of putting myself out of business or putting myself in business by saying that, but it is something you can do whenever you like. This is RN Drive.